today we're going to do a lot of reading from Proverbs and John's. So if you can keep your Bible open, that's fine. If you can't, just let me read it for you. So let's start with Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So now this is chapter 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And this is chapter 25, verse 17. Let your food be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. And this first, chapter 26, verses 18 to 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the one, if the man who deceives his neighbor and say, I'm only joking. And this chapter 27, verses 5 to 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of our friends. Prevails are the kisses of an enemy. This verses 9, chapter 27. Perfumes and incense bring joy to the hearts, and pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And this, the other one in verse 17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And at the end, this is in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses, chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And this is the word of the Lord. Let me hand it back to Hiwoo. Thank you.
Thanks, Sai. As you know, we've started the series on Proverbs, and we're going to we've done two introductory ones, and we're going to go through more of a topical thing. And so we're going to touch on the topic of friendship from Proverbs. But let's pray that God will speak to us today. Lord, we thank you for your living word. We thank you that you are with us to give us wisdom. And Lord, we pray that through these words, we will grow in wisdom, that we might live a good life, that in a way that pleases you, in a way that is according to your design for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A New York Times article that was recently republished online caught my eyes. It's called, Why Is It Hard to Make Friends Over 30? It quotes a sociology professor who names three important factors in making good friends. First, proximity. Second, repeated unplanned interactions. And third, a setting that encourages intimate sharing. Well, my friends are all over the world, so proximity is out. And in this busy city, unless you're in my diary, I'm never going to run into you. I'm never going to actually have this unplanned meeting. Well, that's difficult as well. And a setting that encourages intimacy. Well, I haven't had a sleepover since I think the last time I had one was maybe second year in my college. And with kids, I find it really difficult to go out for dinner and drinks anymore. And so it seems that this is going to be really difficult for me. But not just for me, but for people who live in Hong Kong. This is a difficult thing in Hong Kong, isn't it? Because unlike many American friends, American brothers and sisters who find it very easy to open up their homes and open up their lives, Hong Kong people, we're more reserved. People are slower to reveal themselves to one another. And not only that, we're busy and often too exhausted for friendship. After all the day of work, it's hard to make time for friends. And a setting, and also the transience in this city. People come and go, and maybe you don't want to invest in friendships that you know will end in 3-4 years' time, where suddenly people might just pack up and go. But one of the themes that run throughout the book of Proverbs is friendship. And if Proverbs is actually a recipe for living a good life according to God's design, what God is saying is friendship is one of the essential ingredients of good life. We need friends. Take, for example, Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Remember the setting of the book. It's the Middle East, where people put family before all things. Everything is about family. But here in this proverb, it says actually there will be a friend. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, who has this bond that's closer than a bond of blood. Goodness of friendship. Here's another one, 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness or sweetness of a friend spring from their heartfelt advice. The word that's translated as pleasantness by NIV is the same word as sweetness, people tell me. But imagine this. I mean, before days of sugar, before where we put sugar in all things, think about sort of the sweetness of honey. The people, how it would feel to taste honey. That's the sweetness of friendship, you know, that comes from their advice and them being with us. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. There's sweetness in friendship. So we see stories of friendship around the Bible. David and Jonathan. 1 Samuel 18, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. You know, David, at this time, was going through one of the most difficult times of his life, and what got him through was a friendship with Jonathan. And Jonathan was closer to him than a brother. And Jesus himself had friends. I mean, we know that he spent life with these, he spent these years with disciples, 12 disciples, but he seemed to have also developed friendship with the three, James, Peter, and John. And think about that. I mean, the night before Jesus was, Jesus was betrayed, he took these three to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it wasn't because he was about to teach them something. You know, Jesus was about to go through the most difficult moment of his life. And it seems to me what he's done is he just wants his friends to be there with him, to pray with him, to go through that time with him. Friends get us through the most difficult times, moments of our life. Friends bring sweetness to our life. I mean, think about all the times that brought you joy, the sweetest times of your life. Don't a lot of them contain your friends? Didn't you spend a lot of time with friends? Friendship is a gift. But of course, not all friendships the same. What are the marks of good friendship? A commentator named Derek Kidner has gone through the book of Proverbs, and he identifies at least three: consistency, candor, and carefulness. And by the way, you can do this yourself. You can just Google friend or neighbor. And friend and neighbor in Hebrew are the same word, so you can search for both there. But he's gone through all of it, consistency, candor, and carefulness. First, good friend is somebody who is consistent, who is there for you no matter what. A friend does not leave you when times get tough. But we know that that's not always true, and Proverbs speaks of that as well. For example, Proverbs 19:4 says, "Wealth attracts many friends, but even the closest friends of a poor person deserts them." 14:20 says something similar. And there are other places in the book of Proverbs that make it sound like the key to having many friends is to be rich. If you are rich, you're going to have all these friends, it says. But then it also says that there is somebody who sticks closer to you than a brother, people who do not abandon you. Of course, the people who are attracted to wealth are not your true friends. They're using you, and it doesn't have to be wealth. It could be your popularity, it could be your power, or whatever that they're using to get. And when you don't have them anymore, and when they don't need you anymore, these people will abandon you. When I first moved to the U.S., I was 12, and I wasn't very popular. One, I couldn't speak English, and two, I still dressed like I did in Korea, which was not a good move on my part. Really, it's my parents' fault. But the only people who befriended me at that time in middle school was this group of Mormons. Yeah, they were sort of already outsiders. They had their own table in the lunch in the cafeteria. And they're already outsiders, and they sort of took me under their wing, and they befriended me. I'm so grateful. Actually, one of the highlights of that time of my life, the big sort of moment, was when I was invited over for a sleepover. It just meant such a great deal to me. But as I grew up, I learned English. I moved up the social ladder, and you know what I did? I dropped them as friends. Because I wasn't a true friend to them. In a way, I was just using them. And friends are there, consistently there for you, no matter what. Those are true friends. Chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. At all times, they're there for you. A second quality that marks true friendship is honesty or candor. Listen to these words, 27:5-6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Hebrew poetry is written in parallelism. And verse 5 is in parallel to verse 6. Better is open rebuke is in parallel to faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, sometimes friends will openly rebuke us, but those wounds they inflict are actually, we trust them. We take their words, and we don't run away from them, because open rebuke is better. The honesty from friend is a good thing that corrects us, and they come from a place of love and faithfulness. But then, you can see there, the hidden love is there as well. And hidden love, I think, speaks of when we say things like, oh, I love this person too much to tell them the truth. Well, look what that's in parallel to. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. When you hide the truth like this, Proverbs writers, and this proverb says, that's like having an enemy. By the way, if you aren't so popular or wealthy or powerful, many people, unfortunately, will tell you the truth. That's tough, but that's not always a bad thing. What's really bad is as you move up, as you become more wealthy and more powerful and more popular, actually less and less people will tell you the truth and more people will flatter you. And that is really bad because you won't know the truth about what's going on, and actually someday that might trap you. Proverbs 29:5 says, those who flatter their neighbors or friends are spreading nets for their feet. Flattery is a trap. So take stock of your friends. Friendship. You know, is there any friend that tells you the truth about you, about your situation? Or are you surrounded by people who just flatter you? Candor, honesty is a mark of true friendship. Finally, carefulness, or tact, as Derek Kidner calls it. In this sense, I think this is a sense of sort of respect for each other, sense of knowledge for one another, and how to speak to each other, how to relate to each other. And there are many proverbs that speak to this. 25, verse 17 says, let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you. Of course, there are times when you have to depend on your friends, but friends don't overstay their welcome. They know when to leave. Benjamin Franklin said that guests, like fish, after 3 days stink. That's not always true, but you get the point. We have to be careful with each other, even with friends. Proverbs 26:18-19. That says, you know, somebody who takes a joke too far and says, I was just joking, is like a maniac who's throwing a flaming arrow at the friendship. You know, sometimes friends poke fun at each other. Joshing is part of sort of intimacy. When we sort of poke gently fun at each other, it shows sort of our intimacy and our affection to each other. But I'm sure there are times when we have gone too far and we've said, oh, I was just joking. Well, words still hurt. It's out there, right? So even amongst friends, we have to be careful. I love Proverbs 17:9 as well. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. As we spend life together with friends, friends will hurt you. But love will cover over that offense. And it won't just bring it up again and again, because if you do, then it will separate that friendship. I'm highly motivated by shame. And sometimes I have lied to cover up my shame. And I did this once to my closest friend. And he found out. And then he confronted me. He forgave me. He never has brought it up again. We're still close friends because he has never brought it up again, because he knows how ashamed I am of having done so. Consistency, candor, and carefulness. I wonder if you have friends like that. If you do, you have one of the essential ingredients of a good life here on earth. So cherish them, nurture your friendships, don't forget about them. But equally, I wonder if you can be friends like this to your friends. Are you this sort of a friend to your friends, to the people around you? Can you try to be such a friend to your Christian friends and non-Christian friends? Because if we love Jesus, if we're shaped by wisdom, this should be candor and carefulness, consistency. That should mark our friendship. And if we offer this sort of friendship to our non-Christian friends, surely they will ask, why? Why is it that you are different? You do friendship differently. And that'll give us a chance to share Jesus with them. But first, we need to also choose good friends, right? And nurture them. Choose to nurture them. Chapter 12, 26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. This is fourth Sunday. We would usually have the youth with us, and I hope you're still listening. How have you chosen your friends? Do you choose them carefully? Of course, in the inner circle, you know, two or three people that you are closest to, they must bring you joy, and they must really be that sweetness of life. But don't just stick with them, right? Widen your circle a bit. You know, in the next sort of group of friends, maybe, have different kinds of people. Make sure that you don't have just people around you who just flatter you, who don't tell you the truth, and who are just like you. Go out and befriend people who will challenge you, people who are different from you, people who are maybe from a different culture and perspective, because iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17. When two iron are rubbed together against each other, it's the friction, right? The friction is uncomfortable. It gets heated up, but that friction is what sharpens each of the blade. We need friends who are different from us, who will challenge us. Will you have friends like that? Choose your friends wisely. And also choose to invest in active friendship. And this is what I mean. An Atlantic article that I read on this, on friendship, identified three kinds of friendship. I thought it was very helpful. One, there's active friendship, and there's dormant friendship, and there's also commemorative ones. Active friends are the people that you are already friends with. You know everything about them, and they know much about you. And the dormant ones are people who you've had a significant relationship with in the past, like your college roommates or something like that. They were special to you. You spent a lot of time with you, but for whatever reason, maybe distance or something, you don't meet with them so much anymore. But if you did, that friendship would come alive right back up. But then there are also the commemorative relationships. These are most of the people on your Facebook, right? Or Instagram friends. You don't know them that well. You sort of know them, but they've never been that significant to you. And the advice is, don't spend so much time getting updated with all the commemorative ones or even the dormant ones. Spend time with the active ones, people who are there with you. Here's another nugget of wisdom from chapter 27, verse 10. Better a neighbor or friend nearby than a relative far away. you know, it's great to have that many friends on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, but don't spend all the time commenting on them or checking up on them, or even the dormant ones is Zooming with people who live across the ocean. Spend time with friends here in Hong Kong, people who can come over for a meal, people who can live life with you here. Invest in these relationships that are here. Nurture them. And we can't be passive in doing this either, because friendship isn't just going to happen to us, especially if you're ever over 30. Be proactive in nurturing friendships. Yeah, which means don't just wait for somebody else to make the first move. Be proactive. Do reach out to somebody. And like most things that are worth doing in life, friendship will also require sacrifice. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And he demonstrated his love for us, his friendship with us, by laying down his life for us. And we also need to be ready to sacrifice the things that are important to us to foster and nurture our friendships. I heard that Hong Kongers spell love T-I-M-E. Time is one of the things that we need to be ready to sacrifice. You know, the same Atlantic article that I read said that it takes about 90 hours for an acquaintance to become a quote-unquote real friend, and overall 200 hours for this person to become a close friend. You know, in your social circles, in the church, you probably have people that you want to be friends with. Really, what you need, the next step, is to spend the time with them. And while you do so, open up. Don't be vulnerable. Be close, like a brother, to these people. Take some risks in being vulnerable. And researchers show, this is the good news, researchers show that if you are vulnerable to other people, that makes you more likable. People who show themselves, reveal themselves more to others, are apparently more likable than others. And on top of that, the bonus is that if you are vulnerable to somebody, you are inclined to like the person that you've been vulnerable to, which deepens friendship as well. I know that this is not an easy time to be friends to anyone. It's difficult. But if you look back at your life, I mean, for me, it's camping trips in high school or conversations in college, holidays over green hills of Wales, and talking theology over beer. Some of the sweetest memory that I have involve friends, friendship. And how sweet is a call from your friend at this time when you feel so isolated? Indeed, friends are essential to living a good life. But in the end, I also don't want you to idolize friends or friendship, because you are already friends with Jesus. Your friends aren't Jesus. They'll not always be there for you. They'll not always tell you the truth, and they'll not always be careful with you. But Jesus is always there for us. In fact, he paid the ultimate price to be here with us, to always be here with us. And he always is honest and tells us the truth. And we don't have to hide anything. He knows all things about ourselves, all the intimate secrets, but he loves us anyway. And he's careful with us as one who is the source of all wisdom. A bruised reed he will not break, Isaiah says. And his friendship is a gift to us. And if we spend time with him to enjoy his friendship with us, surely that will make us a better friend to others. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your friendship that you pay the ultimate price for, so that we can be friends with you. Lord, help us to be good friends to the people around us, to offer this sort of friendship. Help us to value and cherish the friends that we have. Lord, we thank you for these nuggets of wisdom. Help us to take them on board and this week and in this time as we go through this difficult time together in Hong Kong, help us to strengthen our friendship. Help us to be good friends to the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.